It's time to bring to you today's message by Pastor E.A. Adeboye, the General Overseer of the Redeemed Christian Church of God. May God bless you as you listen.
my Lord, you are my Lord. Hallelujah, you are my Lord. Amen. You had risen from the dead. You are my Lord. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ, you are my Lord.
Eternal Rock of Ages, we want to bless your name once again for all that you had done for us. I want to thank you once again for the salvation of our souls. I want to thank you for the healings of our bodies. I want to thank you for the home that is waiting for us in heaven. I want to thank you for the mighty things that you had already done.
Yes.
And we want to thank you for the greater things that you will yet do.
Yes.
We're looking forward, Lord, to that time when their property will not be just a piece of land, but it will be a great sanctuary where people can come and receive salvation, healings, deliverance, victory. And we know it's going to be very soon. So we just bless your name. We say, Father, accept our worship. And let your name be glorified in our lives tonight like never before. So that at the end of everything, we will all go home and say, God himself had visited his people. Father, let it be so. For we had prayed with thanksgiving in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Luke 23, verse 46. Luke chapter 23, verse 46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. This evening I want to talk to us briefly. I know you've had a long day, so I'll be brief. I think I'm usually brief, which means I might be briefer. Particularly as we learned yesterday that God is not talkative. And I'm trying hard to be like him. But I want to talk to you briefly about the ultimate surrender. The ultimate surrender. The Bible teaches us that man is a trinity. Man is a spirit, he has a soul, and he lives in a body. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. It says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your whole spirit and soul and body. So there are three of you combined to form one. And the most important of these three components that make man is the spirit. And there are several reasons why the Bible said that. If all is well with your spirit, don't worry, all will be well with your soul and with your body. In Proverbs 18 verse 14, just to have some scriptures, Proverbs 18 verse 14, the Bible says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? In other words, if your spirit is buoyant, if all is well with your spirit, even if you have any infirmity in the body, your spirit will carry it right on. But if something happens to your spirit, if your spirit becomes wounded, then that's the end of the story. And that's why Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, when he was trying to explain to him why you must be born again, he said in verses 5 and 6, that unless a man is born of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God, because he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So in salvation, the number one target is your spirit. And this, of course, becomes clearer when you consider the fact that the Bible says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In other words, until you begin to worship God in spirit, you're not even worshiping God, because God is a spirit. And then the Bible says again in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 19, Hebrews 12, verse 9, let's just check that one out. Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible has this to say concerning God. He said, furthermore, that's in verse 9, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we give them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? God is called the Father of spirits. That means all his children are spirits, because he himself is a spirit. What I'm trying to bring to your attention is this, that the role of the spirit in the life of a man is extremely important. And for someone, therefore, to say, Father, into thy hand I commit my spirit, that is the ultimate surrender. When you hand over your spirit to someone, you have handed over everything to that person. You hand over your spirit, that means your soul goes, your body goes. Everything that is you is already involved when you say, Father, into thy hand I commit my spirit. We all know, I'm sure, even if only from reading the story of Job, we know that everything is always settled first in the spirit before it manifests in the physical. I mean, if you read the book of Job chapter 1, you read from verse 8 to 19, when God was bragging about Job and talking to Satan as, have you considered my servant Job? A wonderful man, fears God, hates iniquity, and so on and so forth. And the devil said, does he fear you in vain? You've blessed him, you've prospered him, you made an edge around about him. Even if I want to get him, I cannot. Why don't you give me an opportunity to touch him, and then let us see whether he will still worship you? And God said, well, I opened the edge a little, go in, can touch his body, touch whatever he has, but his life I'm not surrendering to you. It was after this agreement in the spiritual that the few calamities that befell Job befell him. Once it is settled in the spiritual, it will then manifest in the physical, which is good news. Good news, because in the spiritual you were already healed. The physical manifestation will surely come. In the spiritual, you are already blessed. And sooner or later, in the physical, it's going to happen. In the spiritual, I've already seen this church on a piece of property that is at least 30 acres. Very soon in the physical, it will manifest. There's no doubt about that. I have no doubt in my mind that that's going to come to pass. But the point we are trying to say, therefore, is this, that the Almighty God is expecting every one of us, like the Lord Jesus Christ did, to surrender our spirit to him. And many of us have not done that at all. Because we have not done that, that's why we worry. We worry a lot. Many of us disobey God in that area. That's one major area where our obedience is far from being complete. In spite of the fact that the Lord said in Matthew chapter 6, reading from verse 25 all the way to 34, I won't read it all, since it's a passage you are very familiar with. I will read just a bit of it. Matthew 6 from verse 25. It says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? And went on and on and on and on. Till finally he said in verse 34, therefore take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Don't worry, God said. But there is something very crucial that we will find in the verse before. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. You see, because each time you are studying the Bible and you find a passage that begins with therefore, you need to go a little beyond that, before that, to find out what is it saying, what's the Bible saying before the therefore. And when you get to verse 24, you see, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Verse 24 says, you can't have more than one God. I think that's a good summary of verse 24. When he now said, you can't have more than one God, he then went on to say, therefore, don't worry. Another way, he's saying, if you are worrying, you have more than one God. The other God might be you. It's not necessarily an idol you keep in the closet. The other idol might be you. And I can prove it to you very soon. You see, if you have not surrendered, absolutely, if you have not surrendered your spirit to God, remember, God is a spirit and you are a spirit. And if you have not surrendered your spirit to God, the Father of spirits, then we have two spirits. God, the spirit with capital S, and you, the spirit with small s. And so we have two gods. He said, you can't serve God and mammon. You can't have more than one God. If you have only one God, you have nothing to worry about. Because that one God will be more than sufficient to take care of you. He said, I am Jehovah El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. And the reason why people find it difficult to surrender all, again, is because of something I mentioned in the morning. Pride. We cannot find it in upon someone else, even when that someone else is the Almighty God. That's the problem. Because when you surrender all to the Almighty God, automatically, your future, your present, your ambition, your everything will be determined by Him. And you now are completely dependent upon Him. It's like you become like a baby. You cannot do things for yourself. He has to do everything for you. And for any man who has been brought up in the secular world, that's not easy to swallow. We've been trained to be independent. We've been trained to stand on our own feet. Which is good, except that the independence must not be independence from God. Because the original sin in the Garden of Eden is not just a sin of disobedience, it's a sin of wanting to be independent. God said, don't do this. Satan came along and said, don't mind him. The reason he asked you not to do it is because he knows if you do it, you'll become like him. You'll be like God. Don't you want to be independent? Let him be God and you be God also. And the woman said, that's a good idea. And you need to ask those of us from the third world. We know what it is to be independent. When we had colonial masters, we were not happy. How can you people come and rule over us? We want to be independent. We want to rule over ourselves. So we became independent. I'm sorry, that's when our problems really started. Because when we were not independent, certain things were happening. They are not happening now. I don't want to go into details. I'm sure if I say this at home, there will be some people who will want to stone me. I'm not saying that man should rule man, but at least God should rule man. That we should surrender to the one who made us anyway. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, if you read verse 7, you will see something that I'm sure you are very familiar with. He said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. But if you go back a little to verse 6, and you look at your Bible very well, you will find that at the end of verse 6, there is no full stop. There's a colon there. And the colon there means that the sentence in verse 6 is to be concluded in verse 7. Verse 6 says, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. In other words, the two thoughts are combined. Before you can cast all your care upon him, you have to be humble. A proud man won't be able to do it. If I had any problem at all when the Lord was calling me into the ministry, it was a problem of pride. How can I, a professor in the university, and in good money, taking care of myself and giving to others, suddenly become someone who would depend on tithes and offerings before I could eat? That was the only reason why I said I don't want to go to full-time ministry. And it was pride. Of course, I didn't appreciate it at that until the Holy Spirit confronted me with the issue and said, the problem with you is that you are proud. And I thought I was a humble man. I'm sure many of us are beginning to learn. Like we learned in the morning, we need to learn obedience. We also need to learn humility. The Bible said clearly in John 15 verse 5, John 15 verse 5, he said, without me you can do nothing. Maybe we don't know the meaning of the word nothing. Because nothing means nothing. Not a thing. That's what nothing means. You cannot do a thing. And I have examined things, sat down and said, wait a minute, what do you mean by without you I can do nothing? And the Almighty God showed me clearly that the most important thing that you do is breathe. When you stop breathing, you are dead. And he said, without me, you cannot even breathe. Now, if you can't breathe, I think we'll soon forget all about our pride. Because a dead man lies down there in the mortuary, anybody can kick it. He can protest. I mean, once in a while I've been called in Nigeria because of the grace of God upon my life. Some medical doctors, when they have to perform some very serious operations, and they are Christian, they've invited me into the operating theater to come and pray while they operate. And I've seen men and women under anesthetics, and I've seen mighty men and mighty women, proud, arrogant. And I've seen how helpless they are on the operating theater table. They're not even yet dead. A doctor will lift a hand like this and it will drop. Turn this way, turn that way, and there's nothing they can do. And God said, you can't even breathe without my assistance. And then he began to show me some things. When we said, well, I mean, you gave me the ability to choose, for example, so I should use it. And God said to me one day, of all the crucial things in your life, how many of the things did you choose yourself? I said, I don't understand. I think I've done a lot of choosing. And he asked me, well, who chose your daddy for you? And your mommy? And where you will be born? How tall you will be? The color of your skin? Brethren, God has chosen a lot for you without consulting you. And then all of a sudden now you've become big and you want to choose for yourself. The one who has brought your life thus far, he said, let me handle the remainder. And he said, well, I know you are God, but you stay on your side and let me handle affairs myself. But you see, that can only be foolishness. I've just said that the spiritual is far, far more crucial than anything else. And the Almighty God says in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, Ephesians 1 verse 3, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. In other words, he's saying, all your spiritual needs are already met. Then, when we worry, what are we worrying about? It follows that we can only be worrying about the physical, about the material. We worry about today, we worry about tomorrow, we worry about what we shall eat, what we shall drink, whether we'll be able to meet up with the payments on our cars, on our houses. When the Almighty God said, in the spiritual, I have settled everything. And back home in Africa, we have one problem. No matter how wealthy a man is, he keeps on acquiring more. I'm sure you don't have that problem in America. And when you ask the average Nigerian chief or African chief, why are you acquiring so much? You already got 10 houses. You want to buy more. You want to build more. And he will say, I'm acquiring this for my children, that when I die, they will inherit. And that sounds good. Until one day God opened my eyes to show me that that's not really true. Many of them are acquiring this thing to satisfy their ego. And that if you really love your children, your prayer should not be, God, when I die, let my children inherit these things. Your prayer should be, God, prosper my children so much that they won't even need whatever I have. That's a better prayer. I don't want to die and have my children going to court and fighting over houses. And by the time I die, I want them to be able to say, well, thank God for a wonderful daddy, but the Lord has prospered us too. And God showed me from the scripture, he said, if your children will follow in your footsteps and do my will, I will show you that I can be greater for them than I am for you. And he showed me in the scriptures, Abraham was great. Isaac was very great. Jacob was exceedingly great. The grandfather was great. The father was very great. And the son was exceedingly great. God can do the same for your children. In other words, why are you then worrying about what's going to happen to my children? If they follow in the way of the Lord, they'll be greater than you. I mean, that's the plan of God for them. And then this God had already taken care of your past. Like I said, he chose your father, your mother, where you'll be born, the color of your skin, your height, the color of your eyes, and so on and so forth. Why don't you allow him to take care of your tomorrow? After all, he said in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 10, Isaiah chapter 3, verse 10, he said, say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with him. That's one of my mottos. I always tell the people around me, my tomorrow will be all right. They say, how do you know? Because it is written. Say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with him. Many of us worry. Not, you say, well, sir, I don't worry about material things. My concern is about my soul. Will I be able to make it to heaven? That's what I worry about. You don't need to worry about that. If you have really surrendered your spirit to the Lord. Because what you surrender to the Lord, the devil can't take. And, you know, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Paul said, for the which cause I also suffered these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul must have committed something to the Lord. Commit your spirit to the Lord, and then don't worry about when the rapture will come. When the rapture comes, your spirit will be in good hands. And look at the book of Jude, the only chapter of Jude, verse 24. Jude chapter, the only chapter, verse 24, it says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Verse 25, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. There is someone who is able to keep you from falling.
And anyway, in any case, those of us who are standing are kept by the power of God. You cannot even remain in the faith if God is not keeping you. The Bible says, not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. That you are still walking along the narrow path is by the special grace of God. It's by grace you are saved. It's by grace you are going to make it to heaven. So the one who is able to keep you from falling, then why don't you relax and surrender to him? I mean, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 has this to say. Hebrews 7, verse 25, he said, well, if you want, you can take it from verse 24. He said, but this man, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. There's somebody praying for you, brother, sister. And it's right there in heaven. So when the devil brings an accusation against you before the throne of God, you have an advocate that you are not even paying for. And he's working full time on your behalf, interceding for you. I remember one night, some time ago, it was Holy Ghost Night. We have this program we call Holy Ghost Night, first Friday of every month. And 50,000, 60,000, more, gather together to pray all night. And they will gather, they will start gathering from about 3 o'clock in the afternoon for the program that is going to begin at 7 because of accommodation problem. And then by 7 o'clock they begin to sing and to praise and to dance. By 8 o'clock the choir will sing. And even as the choir is filing out, I will come in. I'm not sure you appreciate what it is for about 60,000 people to be waiting on you. It can be scary. So when I would have been in my office all day long on my face, praying, calling on God, asking for assistance, worshiping him and so on. So that when the time comes, I might have enough courage to stand before that crowd. Well, you need to see it. One of these days, you are coming in Jesus' name. It's quite an experience. And I remember one night in particular, when it was time to go, I did not pray enough. So I said, Lord, I'm not sure I can go out there. I don't feel that my battery is charged enough. I have not prayed enough. I know it. And God spoke to me and said, son, what gave you the impression that it was your prayer that I've been doing all these things? He said, there's somebody praying for you up here. Boy, that changed things. Because I know just a word from him is enough to charge any battery. So I could walk up now with confidence because I know he's with me. And there's somebody interceding for you in heaven. And believe me honestly, he can never lose a case. Because he's the only begotten son of the Father. And the Father had already so highly exalted him. All he has to say is, God, this is my friend. Whatever the enemy says about him, I put it under my blood. And that's the end of the story. After all, the Bible says we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're not more than conquerors because we know how to pray, or because we know how to study the word. We should pray, of course. We should study the word. But the reason we are more than conquerors is because Jesus loves us. And the word of God says, in loving his own, he loved them till the very end. He's not going to love you for one day and then stop loving you tomorrow. Believe me honestly, when you are still living in sin, rolling in sin, he loved you anyway. You can't be worse than you had been. He had always loved you before the foundations of the world, he will keep on loving you. So, why don't you stop worrying about whether you're going to fall? He's able to keep you from falling. He's able to save you to the uttermost. But that's not all. You see, you wonder, why are you preaching this particular message on Saturday night? Why? Because tomorrow is Easter Sunday. And Easter Sunday morning is always a time of joy. And the Bible tells me in Psalm 30, verse 5, Psalm 30, verse 5, it says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I once preached a message called Joy Cometh. Joy is coming. I said, what? What do you mean I'm carrying a burden that I'm not reading, I'm overseeing your church? And he said, that's a poor problem. Whose church? Is it your church or mine? Okay. Well, I thought you put me here to look after things for you. He said, no, I put you there to come along with the ride. So I can take care of my own. Amen. Boy, that changed things. I said, I didn't know that's it. Then I begin to enjoy. And from that moment, I made up my mind that I would not worry. And thank God I learned that lesson when we were small. Because maybe by now I'll be dead. Because if I grew gray hair over 39 churches, I don't know what I would have grown over almost 2,000 churches. And those of you who have more than two children, you know that the more they are, the more the problems. So if you have about 500,000 children, you can multiply your problems by 500,000. So I've made up my mind from that moment, no more worries. I'm going to allow the peace of God that passes all understanding to rule my spirit. Just relax. And so when I travel and I return from any of my journeys, my wife will have a list of all the problems waiting. And so as soon as I return and we pray and I sit down, she'll begin to say, well, this is an emergency here. The Muslims are burning churches in this particular town, and your church looks to be one of those that will go. This problem is happening here. This problem is happening here. And when she finished, my question had always been, where is my food? And she would look at me and say, with all that I've said, I said, of course, won't I eat? And she would get the impression, well, maybe he wanted to eat so he would get strength so he can now tackle the problems. And when I finish eating, I will say, shall we pray so we can go and sleep? She will look at me as if I'm crazy. And we will pray, and then I'll go to bed and sleep. One day she asked me, why do you do this? I said, because it is written, weeping may endure for a night. Joy is coming tomorrow morning. If joy is coming tomorrow morning, why do I need to waste my time worrying tonight? Why don't I just sleep and wait for the joy that is coming tomorrow? And you discover that the interesting thing is that by the time you wake up tomorrow morning, somehow, God has taken care of the problems. And the problems become testimonies. You see, brethren, there are those who have learned to go into the future and borrow joy. Take it by force, as it were, and bring it into the present. I give you one good example in the scriptures. You find one in Matthew 15, verse 21 to 28. Matthew 15, verse 21 to 28. It's the story of the Syrophoenician woman. The woman who came to Jesus Christ and said, Lord, have mercy on me. My daughter is grievously vexed of the devil. I want deliverance for her. The Bible says Jesus did not answer a word. The woman kept on crying. And the disciples who should have helped her went to the Lord and said, get rid of this woman. She's disturbing us with her noise. And Jesus Christ finally, when he finally spoke, he said, I am sent only unto the lordship of the house of Israel. not time to take care of the Gentiles. When the woman came and worshipped him, Jesus said, I can't give the bread of children to dogs. The time for Gentiles had not come. It is the time for Jews. But the woman refused to move. She stepped into the future and said, the time for the Gentiles might not come yet, but I'm getting my miracle today anyway. And she got her miracle. She went into the future and grabbed the miracle that she needed. You find another example in John chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. John chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. That was the marriage in Canaan of Galilee, when they ran out of wine. And the mother of Jesus came unto him and said, they don't have wine. Jesus said, what's my own problem with that? Jesus made a statement. He said, my hour has not yet come. The time for me to begin to perform miracles had not yet come. Because in the plan of God, there's a time for everything. But the mother told those who were there and said, whether his time has come or not, we need a miracle today. And we're going to get it. Whatsoever he asks you to do, do it. You know the story very well. The mother said that and left. And the servant stood watching Jesus and he said, what do you want? Well, your mother said, whatever you say, we should do it. But didn't you hear I said that my time hasn't come? Well, we heard that, but we are here all the same. At the end of the day, he said, well, I know how to get rid of you. Go and fill the pots with water. Water? That's not what they need. It's wine. Anyway, whatever he asks you to do, do it. Thank God for complete obedience. They went, they filled the pots with water. And they said, yes, the pots are full of water now. He said, well, all right, take the water to the MC, the master of ceremony. He didn't pray over the water. He added no chemicals. He didn't do anything at all. He just said, take the water that you have just brought into the pot and take it to the master of ceremony. Because these people were ready to obey every order. They took the water, and as they were going on the way, the water became wine. If you would do certain things, you can go into the future and bring joy to the present. Your joy can begin tonight. As a matter of fact, among my people, we have a saying, there are only 2 days in the year for the children of God. 2 days in the year. One is Christmas Day, and the other is Easter. So if today is Christmas, tomorrow is Easter, and the next is Christmas, and the next is Easter. So we have joy all year round. What are the things that God will require from you? Faith. That's important. Because the fellow you are going to surrender your spirit to, you better have faith in him. Second is obedience. Because when you surrender your spirit to him, then whatever he asks you to do, you do it. And when I say obedience, I'm sure you understand what I mean by that. I mean complete obedience. And if you do this, it will then free you to do what God called you to do anyway, and that's to worship him. The reason why many of us cannot worship God in spirit and in truth is because we are worried about one thing or the other. The moment you have nothing to worry about, you're not worried about your past because that's already taken care of. Because the word of God says the time of ignorance, God winked at. His blood has cleansed you from all sins. You are in Christ, you are a new creature. All things are passed away, all things have become new. The past is gone. He's taking care of that. Your present, believe me honestly, he's taking care of your present. Because the Lord is your shepherd, and you have nothing to worry about. You won't want. He's there on his throne interceding for you. Your future is taken care of. That is, I say ye to the righteous, it will be well with him. And he said, he will keep you from falling. And he said, he will save you to the uttermost. He said, he will keep you until that day, that resurrection. But he's not going to fail halfway. He hasn't failed before. Bible says, whatever is of God shall be forever. Bible says, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And he said, will I bring to labor and will not bring to delivery? He will not get halfway and then forsake you. He said, I will never leave you and never, never forsake you. The word never is there twice. Once you take your mind off problems, suddenly you are free to do what God created you for, to worship him. You see, when the Bible says, joy cometh tomorrow, or in the morning, I also made a discovery about this thing called joy. That there's a great difference between joy and happiness. Ask any Bible scholar, they'll tell you that the word happiness is from one of these strange words, whether Greek or Hebrew, called hap. For you to have happiness, something must happen. You are happy when you get promotion. You are happy when a miracle occurs. Something must happen for you to have happiness. For you to have joy, nothing needs to happen. Because joy comes from the Lord. And the Lord is constant. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. He's the same forever. He's the same whether the rain is falling. He's the same whether there's no rain. He's the same in summer. He's the same in winter. That's why the Bible says, the joy of the Lord will be your strength. A constant joy. And that's why the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Finally, one word of warning. Because each time we talk about surrender, there are people who say, well, I want to surrender, but it's so difficult. And I admit that at times it can be difficult to surrender. There are people who have said they have surrendered all before who have not surrendered anything at all. I don't know if I've shared this story with you before. I preached on total surrender one Sunday. And when I finished, one young man came to me excited and said, ah, Pastor, at long last, I have surrendered all. And I said, wonderful. In that case, we will use your car for the journey we want to undertake tomorrow. And he said, oh, but tomorrow is Monday. I need the car to go to work. And I laughed. I said, we are not going anywhere. We don't need your car. I just want you to know that even your car, you have not surrendered. You're just telling me you've surrendered all. Now, you have proved to you, you have not even surrendered your car. And there is this warning. Any area of your life that is not surrendered to God, that's where the devil will trouble you. Why? Because if you surrender your children to God and the devil comes and he says, I want to take your children from you, say, I have no children. Go and ask the Lord Jesus Christ. If he allows you to take them, they belong to him. They are not mine. And of course the devil said, no, 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 I can't face that fellow. I can't talk to everybody, not him. You surrender your spirit to the Lord. The devil says, I want your spirit. Go and ask the owner. I have already surrendered it to someone. If he will let you have it, go and talk to him. But 12 years ago now, I don't know if I've told you this story before, one of my miracle children, because I have two miracle boys, they'll be coming here soon by the grace of God. I call them miracle children because they were born after I became born again. Not only that, before they were born, my wife had 3 cesarean operations because the doctor said that she could not deliver naturally. So our first son was born by cesarean, the first daughter by cesarean, second daughter by cesarean. And after those 3 children, we said, no, no, that's enough. Then we became born again. And then I read in the scriptures, Luke chapter 1 verse 37, that says, with God nothing shall be impossible. And I took the word of God as exactly what he says, because I know the word of God is forever settled. If God says with him all things are possible, then it means when the doctors say it's impossible for my wife to deliver naturally, and God says with him all things are possible, it's a question of deciding who you are going to agree with. So we agreed with God. And in spite of everything that the doctor said, we had a baby, even without going to the hospital. They told me the baby may come if the baby is very small, very, very small. But they said, even if he managed to escape, because my wife had been sutured, or whatever they call it, in three places within, they said, at least one of those three places will rupture and she will bleed to death. Thank God for science. We thank God for Jesus. They told us that, and I said, well, that's not written in the Bible. It's not written that when my wife delivers, she will bleed to death. That's not written in the Bible. Anyway, the baby came, and it's the biggest boy we ever had, and nothing ruptured. So we used to call him our first miracle baby. Now, when this miracle baby was 2 years old, the devil tried to kill him. He just refused to eat, refused to go to the toilet. And we prayed. We prayed again and again and again. We fasted. We bound. We loosed. We prayed in tongues. We prayed in understanding. 10 days passed. 2-year-old boy. No food, no toilet for 10 days. At that stage, my wife began to waver a little. And you can't blame a woman. If you can stand for 10 days like that, you are a strong woman. So at that stage, I went to God and I said, Daddy, what's the problem? I've done everything that I know how to do. And my son is not healed. Why is my son not healed? And the answer came from him. Thank God, God will speak to you when he has to. He said, because he is your son. And I got a message. I said, I see. So I changed my prayers. Daddy, please heal your son. No longer mine. I surrender him to you. Within 1 hour. That boy was around playing ball. Within 1 hour, he went to the toilet. Within 1 hour, he ate. Within 1 hour, there was no sign left that this child had been healed for 10 days. You see, that area in your life that you say, this is mine, that's where the devil will attack you. Jesus Christ cried and said, Father, into thy hand I commit my spirit. How I wish all of us tonight will be able to say, Father, into thy hand I commit my spirit, my soul, my body, my today, my tomorrow, my marriage, my future, my business, my all. Shall we pray? I just want you to go before the Almighty God on your own and make that commitment tonight. And say, Father, into thy hand I commit everything. And from tonight onward, I will worry no more. I just surrender all. I know you are able to keep me till that day. You are able to keep me from falling. You are able to take care of my future. You are able to take care of everything. I commit everything into your hand. I surrender to you ultimately. My spirit, my soul, my body, my future, my ambitions, my family, my marriage, my business, my ministry, my hopes, my aspirations, my all. I commit them into your hands today, and I leave them there.
And the Lord sent His word to heal them and deliver them from their destruction. Thank you for listening to today's message from Pastor E.A. Adeboye, the General Overseer of the Redeemed Christian Church of God. We believe you've been blessed. If you need this message on audio CD, please contact us on our USA address, 4307 Highway 90A, Stafford, Texas, 77477, or call 281-936-1825, or visit our Nigeria office, 129 Redemption Way, Ebutimeta, Lagos, Nigeria, or call 0708-756-9132, or 281-936-1825. Remember, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever.